Good morning, everyone. What a joy to be here today with you on this Pilgrimage for Life. We're delighted that Bishop Bob Dealey and our pilgrims from Maine are with us again this year, and we welcome everyone here. And I'm so grateful to Father Kevin and the friars and the parishioners at Sacred Heart. Estamos tan agradecidos al Padre Kevin y a los parroquianos de Sagrado Corazón por su acogida y hospitalidad de siempre. Delighted that so many priests and seminarians and consecrated men and women are able to join us here, and in a very special way, grateful to our young people and to the parishioners that are accompanying them on this pilgrimage. There are a couple of Gospels that always stand out in my mind, and one of them is when Jesus cures the man who's possessed by a legion of demons. And those demons he sent into a herd of pigs, and the pigs ran into the sea. And then the people began to complain that the pigs were lost. I think so often we fail to be able to see the miracle. And I often say that today's gospel is one of my favorite. When I was a child, I always loved this gospel. But I'm sure that St. Peter and his mother-in-law were very ticked off because of those four men who went up on the roof and put a hole in the roof, lifted up those tiles, and they're probably thinking about all the leakage they're going to have for the whole winter. But the important thing is to look beyond the hole in the roof and see the miracle. Today we want to celebrate the miracle of life. We are not here by accident. We are here because of God's love, and life is so precious, and we must be witnesses to this miracle, that life is precious. It is a gift from God, and it is entrusted to us. As I said, this gospel to me as a child was my favorite, because I used to think to myself when I would hear about these guys taking their buddy up on the roof and lowering down so that Jesus could cure him. I used to think, gee, I'd like to have friends like that. But I'd like to be a friend like that too. I don't like climbing around on roofs. I don't like heights. So I really admire the courage and the determination of these men who wanted to get their friend close to Jesus. I often contrast in the gospel the crowd and the community. And in the gospel, the crowd is often pushing people away from Christ or preventing them from getting to him. Today's gospel, Jesus is in Peter's house. It is packed with people, and the crowd will not let this paralytic in. And so his friends take the very radical step of climbing up on the roof with him. Contrasting with the crowd is the community. That crowd, which is a collection of individuals, with each with their own agenda, often in conflict and competition with one another. But community is people who are unified in their ideals, in their commitment to others, in their sense of mission, in their desire to serve and bring consolation and reconciliation and help people draw closer to Christ. So our challenge is always trying to change the crowd into a community. The story of the guys on the roof also reminds me of the parable of the Good Samaritan. Because in that parable, A stranger takes care of a man who's been mugged and left half dead by the side of the road. Now, the Samaritan was a foreigner, and he was probably afraid to get involved. He knew that perhaps he would be blamed for attacking the man. The priest and the Levite already ran away. The Samaritan could have dialed 911. He could have said to somebody, look, there's a man over there dying. Call the fire department, help him, and then left in peace, thinking, well, I did something for him. But his response was much more radical. He went over to the man. He bound up his wounds. He transported him. He paid for his care, and then he returned for follow-up, and he said, if there's any more expenses, I'm going to come back and take care of them. It's a level of engagement that seems beyond what people would normally do. And yet Jesus is telling us that this is what he expects of his disciples. We have to be willing to climb up on the roof sometimes. We have to be willing to take some risks. Being a disciple means turning the other cheek, giving the cloak along with the tunic, walking the extra mile. Sometimes to follow Jesus, we have to do difficult things. We have to do risky things. We have to do things that will be unpopular, countercultural, things that people will make fun of us for. People will often criticize you for opening a hole in the roof. I say that being a Catholic in New England is a contact sport. But Bostonians are good at contact sports, aren't we? So we have to struggle, be able to turn that crowd into a community. That is our mission. And help people to see the miracle, to recognize the miracle of life, and not to be worried about the hole in the roof, but to see the miracle of God's love. We cannot let others define for us what discipleship means or what being pro-life means. It's in community that we find the strength to do what is right, to make sacrifices, because we have the support and the good example of others. In community, we're so often on the receiving end, receiving good example. But we also have to be on the giving side as well. Many years ago, I read a book that made quite an impact on me as a young man. It was called In Solitary Witness. And it's the story of a man in Austria whose name was Hans Jägerstätter. And he worked as a janitor in a Catholic parish. And when the Nazis took over Austria at the Anschluss, they started recruiting Austrian men into the Nazi army. And this man refused to serve in the army. His wife, his pastor, everyone pleaded with him to accept to be part of the Nazi machine, and he refused and was eventually beheaded. He gave a solitary witness of one person against the world. How difficult that is. We need a community that's on board in the gospel of life so that we can all be witnesses. Sometimes we're going to feel like solitary witnesses, but we must know that we have a mission to help the world to see the miracle, to recognize the sacredness of life. The main source of our inspiration has to be Jesus Christ, his gospel, the lives of the saints, people like Hans Jägerstätter. Some people want to define the church by the pedophile crisis. That defines what the church should not be. We are defined by the gospel, by our saints, by Saint Francis, by Mother Teresa, by Hans Jägerstätter. When we turn to today's gospel, we see Jesus in his ministry. A few years ago, a wonderful book came out about the priorities of Jesus in the gospel. Cardinal Martini did a close reading of the gospels, and he gave 6 priorities of Jesus' ministry. And I presumed that the first priority was going to be evangelization. But actually, in the Gospels, there's more time spent in works of mercy, caring for the sick, and healing people. And yet that makes perfect sense, because the gospel can be proclaimed only in a context of mercy. And this is true of the pro-life gospel as well. In order to convince people of the truth of the miracle of life, we must assure them that they are important to us, that we care about them. As someone said, the church has many enemies, but the church can be enemy to none. And in the pro-life movement, we must be the merciful face of God and showing people that God loves them and is calling them to conversion, to see the world and to see the gift of life through God's eyes. In today's gospel, we see Jesus teaching. The crowd is there because people have a hunger for the Word of God, a hunger for happiness. Viktor Frankl, a psychiatrist who was imprisoned in a concentration camp, wrote a wonderful book in which he says, the human being's greatest desire is not for pleasure, but for meaning. And in the concentration camp, he saw that the people that fared the best were the people who had meaning, had something to live for. Jesus gives us meaning in our lives. His message is always one of hope and mercy. Jesus, who is anxious to heal both spiritually and physically. When they place that man in front of Jesus, the first thing that Jesus says to them is, he looks at the man and he says, your sins are forgiven. The Pharisees, of course, were furious. They said, only God can forgive sins. They accused Jesus of blasphemy. But Jesus is unflustered. He saw that the man's spiritual illness was more harmful to him than his physical illness. Sometimes we fail to recognize that our attachment to sin and to selfishness are the real source of our sorrows. So Jesus says to them, well, what's easier, to say your sins are forgiven or pick up your bed and walk? And so he cured the man. He cured that man to assure all of us that he has the power to forgive our sins. What a great consolation that is. In Jesus, we can find meaning. In Jesus, we can find forgiveness. The people were astonished, the gospel says. As pro-life disciples of Jesus Christ, we must astonish people by our mercy, our engagement, our willingness to forgive, our compassion for those in trouble and in pain. It takes courage to follow Jesus. But our contact with Jesus in community of faith, in the Word of God and in the sacraments, is where we will find the courage to come out of the foxhole and climb onto the roof and witness to the gospel of life. Our attitude towards those who disagree with us must be one of compassion and concern. People will begin to listen only when they are convinced that we care about them. Being part of Jesus' family, his community, the church, is about bringing healing into a broken world and holding up the values that will be able to guide our society on a safe path, a path that will give us meaning and happiness. Recently, a black minister from Boston, Reverend Eugene Rivers, wrote a beautiful article 2 weeks ago in the Wall Street Journal, perhaps the most read newspaper in the United States, defending the Knights of Columbus. One of the politicians in Washington had described them as an extremist organization because they're pro-life. It was so consoling that a black Protestant minister was so eloquent in defending the Knights of Columbus. And he talked about the works of mercy that the Knights do, and I'm so glad we have Knights here accompanying us, because it's in the context of mercy that we can evangelize. It's in the context of mercy that we can announce the gospel of life and help people to find meaning in Jesus and in his words. In the world, there is no other organization that does what the Catholic Church does. The number of schools, hospitals, social service agencies, refugee resettlement, countless acts of mercy and caring. Our pro-life gospel is also a part of that service of mercy to humanity. When the sacredness of human life is diminished in people's minds, people stop taking care of people. Different categories of human beings are seen as less valuable, less important, more expendable than others. Special needs children, the unborn, the mentally ill, the homeless, the elderly seem to have less worth, less claim on our attention than healthy, productive, well-off, beautiful people. We need to see people through God's eyes. Every single person counts. Every single person is precious. I often share with people that when I was a child, I was sort of afraid of children that had Down syndrome. And a friend of my mom's took me to visit a family who lived near us in Ohio, and their name was Gashaw. They were very active in the Catholic worker movement. They were very close friends of Dorothy Day, and they had five or six children of their own. But then they went and adopted like 15 or 20 special needs children. And when I went into their home, I just felt the love that radiated from that family. And I realized that each of these children was a factory of love. Our vision of humanity must not be the extreme individualist of today's world. We are placed here to care for each other, especially at the beginning of life and at the end of life. We believe in community. The crowd of individuals has to be converted into a community. In a community, there is interdependence. We depend on each other. A year or so ago, I was at a funeral of a wonderful Catholic doctor in Boston, and in the eulogy, they talked about the nurse who took care of him in the hospice program, and how kind she was to him, and how much the family was grateful to her. And then they found out that this nurse, when she was born, the same doctor who was an obstetrician had delivered her, and it was a very difficult birth. And he took care of her as a newborn preemie. And now, so many years later, that same nurse took care of him when he was dying. Yes, there is an interdependence in community and in humanity. I remember one year they made Christmas stamps to commemorate Boys Town, and they had pictures of Father Flanagan and the famous line. Father Flanagan once came across this orphan boy. He was carrying a sleeping boy on his back, and he said, "Oh, let me help you." And the boy said, "Oh, Father, he ain't heavy. He's my brother. He ain't heavy. He's my brother." That's the vision that we have to have. As Jesus' disciples, we must live his gospel and convince the world that we can build a civilization of love, but we have to begin by being able to see the miracle. Then we will take care of each other, but especially of the little ones, of the weak ones among us. Sometimes it will mean climbing to the roof, taking risks, making sacrifices. Our message is the message of Christ. Thou shalt not kill. Love one another. Forgive one another. If you have two coats, share one with the person who has none. Do not be discouraged when people mock you or make fun of you or ridicule your ideals. Keep on loving. Take the higher ground. Go to the roof to save a person in need. Many people who see a reflection of God's love and mercy in you will be just as astonished as the crowd was in Peter's house. And little by little, the crowd can become a community. God bless you.